Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hello there, everyone. What's happening? Start the week off right with a little bit of self-help, a little bit of spirituality, a little bit of self-love, a little bit of self-esteem, all that stuff. Say hi to me. Give me a little comments, please. Hopefully I can see them. There was something that popped up when I was logging on that I needed to reconnect in 23 hours or something. I don't know what that's all about, but you know, we just go with the flow and whatever's supposed to happen happens. So maybe I'll be able to see your comments. I hope so. So today, what am I talking about today? Today, I'm talking about eternal principles. So the reason I'm talking about this is because I found that it's an easy to understand way to kind of shape your guidance system, we'll say, in life. You know, like a lot of this stuff we're trying to implement in our lives, and we get caught up in the surfacey stuff. We get caught up in the details because that's what captures our attention. And that's quite frankly what most people are used to be paying attention to. They're used to paying attention to the details of their life, the external things. And, you know, that's not where the answer lies. So when I'm talking and I come across something specific, that, hey, buddy's here. What's happening, buddy? So when I come across something that is kind of a simplistic, you know, it's not always easy, but it's simple, or more simple, a simplistic way of walking through life and giving us tools, giving us ways to implement this type of living to enhance our lives now. You know, like when I'm teaching, that what I want is I want you guys to live a happy life now. You know, that's the goal. It's not, you know, to wait in 20 years. I mean, you know, like most of you have been on the planet for a while. I mean, you know, why would you want to wait for more suffering, to experience life in a way that you don't enjoy for longer periods of time before you actually experience some joy, peace, happiness, or more joy, peace, and happiness? You know, so, you know, let's lean into it. And a lot of what I see, like I said, is people getting caught up in the details. So for this topic or this conversation, what I am going, like what I'm calling that is the temporal stuff. So Michael Bernard Beckwith taught this really nicely at one point, and he said, it's very easy to tell what is driving your thoughts and your actions. And what he said was, if you are, or he said a version of this, whatever. He said something about, you know, if your focus is things that are transitory, things that are temporal, things that are changing, then you know that you're functioning from the ego. And if you're more concerned with eternal things, that's when you know that you're functioning from the spiritual realm, which is never changing. You know, so, you know, he phrased it something like that. So I'm going to kind of use that and expand on it as I go. So the it's, you know, it's a little bit easier to see or to bring into our experience the temporal stuff, you know? So like when you're, and please feel free to ask questions about this stuff too, you know, as we go, you know, interact with me, please. So when you're functioning from the ego, you're concerned with things that are going to be changing, you know? So like if you're sitting there going, I don't want to go to work today. Oh no, I don't want to go to work. This is going to suck. That's temporary. You know, like later on, you're going to be home and you're not going to be at work. So it's not permanent. If you decide to do something to change your work environment, then that, you know, you can literally change jobs. I mean, so that's temporal. You know, these are temporary things. Hey, Nicole, thanks for joining. And thank you for commenting, you guys. So, you know, it's the temporary things, and most things in life are temporary. Most things that drag us down, most things that capture our attention, most ways we live our life is from the temporary places. And this is not a good way to experience peace and happiness in our lives, because everything's always changing. And what happens when you live like this is as soon as there's a problem, you hyper-focus on it, you know? So like, and I mean, I was the king of this, man, back when I used to drink and before I woke up. When people used to say to me, Glenn, it's going to be okay. Like when things weren't okay, when I was upset about something, it's going to be okay. And I literally did not understand what they were talking about. This is how extreme I was. They're like, it's going to be okay. And I was so focused on the moment that I was like, what do you mean it's going to be okay? Like everything is messed up right now. It's messed up now. Like, so I'm dealing with the fact that it's messed up now. It's going to be okay at some point. Maybe not. I don't even know what you're talking about. That's out in the future somewhere. And I don't have any idea what it has to do with my life being messed up right now. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm upset about. That's what's important right now. This is how I worked, functioned. And hey, Lisa's watching on YouTube. So we got Facebook and YouTube so far working. I don't know if it's Facebook personal or Facebook business page or both, but it looks like people are able to comment. So that's good. And if you can't comment, if you're on Facebook and I'm not seeing your comments, if I haven't shouted out to you yet, you can switch over. If you're on my personal page, switch over to my business page. If you're on my business page, switch over to my personal page. So it's Glenn Ambrose and Glenn Ambrose Life Coaching. You know, those are the two that this is streaming on, as well as YouTube. Okay, so Lisa's commenting on my personal page. So I'm getting comments from my personal page on Facebook. Nicole says she's getting it from my business page. So we got all three people. We are styling and profiling. And if you notice, there's a little comment from Glenn Ambrose. It says, hey, everybody, join in the conversation. Comment here. That's a sure sign, since I didn't do it, that Ben's and Magic Ben is in the background helping. Thank you. Thank you, Ben, for getting my comments working. So it's styling. So yeah, what I was saying was, and like I said, you know, throw questions in, ways for me to expand on this. But I was, when something's going wrong, I was so absorbed by something going wrong that I could not understand that in the future things were going to be okay. I didn't understand what that had to do with everything being wrong now. So I was so absorbed and sucked into the temporal zone, that was all I could see. And of course, there was a tremendous amount of suffering living like that. So, that's highly dysfunctional. Most people are not that extreme, but they are consumed by temporal things. So let's lean into the eternal stuff. So the eternal stuff, it's, you know, the temporal is like your work, your relationship, your basically everything that your mind can think of right off the top is temporal. It's temporary. You know, it could be, it's going to be over in this lifetime, or it's going to be over next week or later this afternoon or 6 years from now or 30 years from now. At some point, it's going to be over. So that means it's temporary. It's not eternal. So the eternal is, so it's easy to see how we focus on that, but how do you focus on eternal things? And it's hard to explain theoretically. It's hard to explain conceptually. I find it easier to explain through actual examples of how to bring this type of mentality into our lives. So if you're, one of the ways I did this in my life, I think I spoke about this before, was I was driving down in Florida after I had been in a DR for a while, and I noticed myself getting irritated when anything happened on the road that I didn't like. So I was like, whoa, I am not like allowing myself to fall into bad habits that I may have been in before. I want to understand why I am getting upset. I don't understand why I'm getting upset. So I looked at it and I was like, well, you know, why am I getting upset? And it was because I had a temporal goal in mind. I was like, what am I trying to achieve? Because I could see every time something happened, it got in the way. It bothered me. So why does it bother me? It's because it's getting in the way of something I want. Well, what do I want? Well, I want to get home. Well, I'm going to get home, so it can't be that. Well, I want to get home as fast as possible and efficiently as possible. Oh, so anything that gets in the way of me getting home as quickly and as efficiently as possible bothers me because it's impeding on my goal. Now, I didn't know that I had that goal. It was an unconscious goal. But once I recognized I had that goal, I was like, okay, that's temporary. At some point, I'm going to be home, and I don't want to function from the egoic mentality, the temporal mentality, the temporary mentality. I don't want to function from that. So how do I function from an eternal perspective? So then I was like, that's hard. It's like, at first it was hard. I was like, okay, well, I'm driving. What is eternal about driving? And I'm like, nothing, like it's going to be over at some point. So I was like, okay, so I can't have an eternal goal. So how can I bring an eternal mindset into this situation? And it was like, well, what is eternal? Like, if I can't have an eternal goal, what is eternal? And I was like, well, principles can be eternal. What is eternal? Love is eternal. Peace is eternal. Trust can be eternal. Expansion, constantly expanding, can be eternal. Growth can be eternal. So these are types of things that will go on forever. You know, the universe will continue to expand and grow. Love will continue on. Energy never dies. These are the type of eternal principles. So if you take these eternal principles and you start bringing them into your life and making those the foundation of your goals, the foundation of how you interact with life, now all of a sudden you're functioning from a whole different level. So instead of my goal being, I want to get home as efficiently and quickly as possible, I said, well, which one of these eternal goals can I bring into my driving experience? Well, Pete, can I bring love in? Yeah, maybe. Can I bring in trust? Yeah, maybe. Expansion, growth, sort of. But like peace resonated with me on this one. So I was like, I want to be peaceful. I want to experience peace during this drive time. So that's my goal. I'm going to be peaceful between now and when I get home. That's my goal. That's how I brought a spiritual principle into a temporary situation. And if that is my goal, if that's my leading factor, if that's what I'm trying to achieve, then, you know, that's what my brain is going to be searching for. You see, and that, you know, and Margie, thank you. She said joy. Yes, exactly. Joy is an eternal principle. And Sarah is joining us. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining. So this is how I brought in an eternal principle into my life. And now all of a sudden, your brain just needs a job to do. And it processes information based on a job it has. So if you're trying to achieve peace in this during your drive home, then it's going to process information to try to achieve peace. So, you know, I was driving and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe I forgot what it was, but somebody cut me off and slowed down. Now, normally I'd be like, what the hell is this person doing? Why? Because it impeded on my goal to get from point A to point B as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So anything that impedes on that bothers me. So normally my brain would process that in a negative way, triggering a negative emotion. But this time somebody cut off and my brain was looking for ways to be peaceful. That's what its job was. So it was like, maybe they weren't thinking, maybe they just weren't paying attention. Maybe they just wanted to move over and change a radio station, whatever. It doesn't really matter. You know, you slow down for a second. You can just go around them if you want. It's not that big of a deal. So, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I think I went around them and I noticed what my brain had just done. And I was like, wow. So as soon as I give my brain a different job, it processes information differently to accomplish that. So this is what I'm talking about. And we can take this process and we can implement it into other areas of our lives. So I think I just got a message from Nicole. So this is kind of a perfect time to read it. Can you help me understand it from a perspective of being late? I hate being late to anything. How could I achieve peace while I feel there is a sense of urgency in those situations? Yeah, I mean, you know, this is kind of a two-part question. It depends on how we're coming at it. But so if you hate being late to anything, don't be late, you know, like rearrange your schedule. And for the most part, that like we can pretty much not be late to most things, you know, by just becoming a little bit more disciplined. So that's, you know, of course, the easy answer. But let's dive deeper and go, okay, so now what about those situations where I have no control, you know, I'm late and it's, you know, I've done everything that I can, I'm running late, and now all of a sudden this is bothering me. It's like, well, you have to look at what you're in control of. You know, it's being upset about being late isn't going to solve anything. Like, it's not going to better the situation. If you're going to be late, this is acceptance. All suffering is resistance to what is. So to feel peace, you have to be like, what am I looking to achieve? Peace. Okay, how can I be peaceful? Well, this is how you choose your perspective. This is how you reframe beliefs. So you go, okay, so I'm going to be late to a situation. It bothers me. And does my anxiety help me achieve peace? No, it robs me of my peace. Okay, well, what would not rob me of my peace, and what would make me feel peaceful? Acceptance of the situation. Like it just is, you know. Really, at the end of the day, if you're responsible and disciplined and you get to most places at times and every once in a while you're late, it doesn't really matter what the thing is that you're late to. It's you're already late. You're doing everything that's within your control. So arguing that fact and suffering internally makes as much sense as me getting upset that my pen here is black. It's a black pen. This is a black pen. I wanted a blue pen, and this one's black. Well, I'm going to be upset about this. I'm going to rob myself of my piece of this. It's like, well, if I want a blue pen and it's within my capability, I should go get a blue pen. If it's not within my capability, I need to accept the reality of the situation that I have a black pen and there's nothing that I can do about it right now. And that should bring in peace. It's just non-resistance to the reality of the situation. You are late. That's just a reality. That's not something negative or something positive. You know, nothing is negative or positive. Our thinking makes it so. Our judgment makes it so. If you're going to be late and there's nothing you can do, there's no sense in getting upset about it. You know, so if your goal is peace, you're going to find things like that. You're going to find ways to frame it. If your goal is just to get somewhere on time, every time you're not on time, you're going to suffer because that's temporary. And peace is permanent, is eternal. So if you focus on peace, it helps you reframe things in a way that can bring you peace. Okay, cool. So that one, Nicole said that makes a lot of sense to me. Thank you. Okay, good. And thank you for commenting right there, because sometimes it's a little hard, you know, without the interaction. So I was trying to dive in it, but that, like, being late has so many different, like, little tweaks and twists to it. That sometimes there's little specifics that are throwing us more, like the judgment of the people there more than actually being late. You know, sometimes that can be the thing. So I wasn't sure if I was answering it right. So, but good. I'm glad that helped. So do you see how if we start leaning back from the things that are upsetting us, you know, this is kind of a sweeping statement that I found very helpful at one point, is I just understood that there's nothing wrong with life. Like, life has been buzzing around for billions of years and it has not needed my help, and it's working perfectly fine. God, the universe, the divine is not an idiot and does not need my help. I could use its help, but it doesn't need mine. So, you know, so once I understand that there's nothing wrong with life. What there is something wrong with my perspective. If I am upset, if I am experiencing frustration, anger, I can tweak the way I'm looking at it to stop experiencing those emotions. Because what happens is a situation occurs and then our brain processes it in a certain way. And because of the way it processes it, it triggers a negative or positive emotion. We obviously don't pay too much attention to the positive emotions. We just sit there enjoying it. But the negative emotions we tend to latch onto and have immense suffering. So, you know, I've said this before, it's like, it's all based on how you process something. If you're watching a soccer game and a kid scores a goal, if you're the parent of the kid that scored the goal, you get very excited and happy. If you're the parent of the goalie, you get very sad. You know? So it's all dependent on how you process it. So we have control over how we process information. We just don't take that control. And this is what I'm talking about. We don't take control over how we, like, our belief systems were set in place between the ages of 4 and 8, basically. And we haven't gone back and changed any of them since then. So they're all unconscious reactions. The way we interact with life is just unconscious reactions constantly going off. And we don't slow down enough to see if they make sense. We don't slow down enough to see if the way we're processing information is beneficial to us or detrimental to us. And this is what we need to start doing. So if you make a blanket statement that if I'm experiencing something negative, then it's because of the way I'm framing it. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, if somebody scores a goal on your kid that's playing goalie and you get upset that there's something wrong, that's not what it means. Like, there's something wrong with you and the way you're processing information. That's not what it means. Like, most of the time, if we experience little bits of negativity, we can just go, oh, well, yeah, you know, I wish my kid would have stopped that goal. Oh, well, you know, sometimes one gets by and we move on with our lives. And it's not that big of a deal. It's the stuff that keeps repeating, like driving, for example. We drive all the time. People drive for 60 years and never stop and change the way they're processing information. And they experience tremendous amounts of negativity for 60 years. You know, people going to work suffer going to work for 40 years. Sometimes people stay in marriages and suffer for 40 years. They carry resentments towards friends for 30 years. They're pissed off at their family for 60 years. Like this, we need to shift. If the way we're processing information is causing us suffering, we can shift the way we process it to something that's healthier. And to be honest with you, since life, there's nothing wrong with life and there's nothing wrong with the flow of life. When we figure out how to process this information in a way that triggers healthier emotions within us, we're going to be closer to the truth. You know, so one time I got upset talking with child support because they were up my ass with a microscope when I was trying to do the right thing. They would screw up and I'd get in trouble for their screw ups. Now, then all of a sudden when the shoe was on the other foot and it was completely obvious that my ex was skipping payments and not doing anything, they just sat back and did nothing, and which they were supposed to because that's how the system was set up. So I was getting frustrated, and when I hung up, I was really pissed off and I was taking it personally. And after I got some of the anger out, I reframed it and I was like, okay, you know, unconsciously, I am thinking that this guy is a jerk. He's lazy. He's an ass. He shouldn't be in his job. He he's a chauvinist. He, you know, just anything else negative, whatever. I was thinking it all about him. Which is there little bits of truth in some of that stuff? Maybe there is. But then when I reframed it in a way that didn't trigger negative emotions, I was like, well, he sounds really unhappy and very fatigued. And I've talked to this man several times over the years. He always sounds like this. He's probably unconscious. He's probably very unhappy with his job. He probably has a huge caseload and is doing whatever he can do to get through the day and go home and just not be there. He doesn't sound like he experiences much happiness, and he's probably depleted, and he probably just wanted to get me off the phone. And it wasn't anything personal. When I reframed it like that, I was like, you know what? That's probably closer to the truth. And now I'm not his personal victim. It has nothing to do with me. It's just this guy. And that's a hypothetical. I don't know that it's true, but it's probably closer to truth than the thing that was pissing me off. So, but what was my goal? What was my goal? My goal was to reframe the situation in a way that brought me more peace. That wasn't inducing suffering. You know, so this is how we reframe it. We can do this with basically anything. You know, what is your goal? So you can do it in driving. You can do it in a court situation. You can do it in work situations. So those are like little situations. But what's cool about spiritual law, see, we are tapping into a spiritual law right now. And I don't know if I'm going to try to name that spiritual law or if it'll come up, but that having a name for it really isn't important. We're tapping into spiritual law. And when you start tapping into spiritual law, what you can see is that it works in the microcosm, small situations, and it also works in the macrocosm, the big situations. It works all the time, always, every time, consistently, always. That's how we know it's spiritual law, because spiritual law is eternal. Spiritual law doesn't change. So when we find something like this, that we can implement in multiple situations. And this isn't rocket science. I mean, you can logically see how it would work. Oh, if I tell my brain to focus on peace, it's going to look for ways to be more peaceful. If I tell my brain to focus on trying to get home from point A to point B as quickly and efficiently as humanly possible, then it's going to get upset every time something impedes that. Yeah, that's not real complicated. I think we can follow that. So this is what spiritual law looks like. It's very logical, and we can implement it in multiple situations. So, you know, let's look at how can I change my entire life? You know, why not? Instead of playing around with this stuff, if it's spiritual law, it should work with everything, right? So how do I change my entire life? Well, what's your goal in life? You know, so know what's cool is this is like, as I say this, it's going to tie right into one of my favorite lessons as far as manifesting, because manifesting is so misunderstood and it's so mistaught that when I ran into actual good teachings, I remembered this, and this was, oh my God, this was 12 years ago. Maybe more, I don't know. And I still remember it. And what it is it's focusing. They didn't phrase it this way, but it's the same thing. It's focusing on larger principles, eternal principles. So, and I'm just going to sum it up. I'm going to kind of combine their teaching with what I was saying. And basically, when we're looking at manifesting or just having a good life, you know, it doesn't matter what word you use. If you're looking at having a good life, then focus on happiness. Focus on happiness. That's it. Because from a manifesting perspective and from the perspective that I'm explaining, you'll get whatever you need to be happy. See, we focus on the external, the smaller things too much, the temporal things too much. So we go, I want a car and a house and a new job and a wife and kids and a dog, and then I'll be happy. That's generally how people, and most people do it that way. Most people do it that way. And if you think you don't, look closer, because you probably do in some areas of your life. We say, no, I'm not materialistic, but 90% of our energy goes towards achieving material things from a material perspective. And I understand that we have bills to pay, but we need to start flip-flopping that a little bit. We need to start putting more energy into our happiness if we expect to achieve it. And it's not that you have to let go of any of those goals. You can still have all that stuff, but you have to come at them different. So this is what I'm talking about. If your goal is happiness, like most people think they need a house to be happy. Half of them don't. Most people think they need a car to be happy. Half of them don't. Most people think they need a spouse to be happy. Half of them don't. Like, we don't know what's going to make us happy because we're not God and we can't see into the future. We just want a bunch of stuff. Sometimes some of us, you know, on a spiritual path will get in tune with a heartfelt desire. That's different than a want. And those are cute, you know, clues to what we really should have in our life and stuff like that. It's, you know, of course it's not, there are caveats to this and there are other ways of coming like this, just like anything. But as a general rule, if we're looking, if our goal is to live a happy life, our brain is going to process things differently and we're going to achieve that happy life. And if that happy life includes a house, then we'll get that house. Why? Because we're focusing on a happy life and we need that to be happy. If it includes a car, a new job, a wife, kids, whatever it includes, you'll get that on the way if you focus on happiness. Why? Because you need it to be happy. But there's the subconscious, like egoic side that says, this is going to sound weird when I say it out loud, but it actually does this. Yeah, but what if I really want a house? And what if I don't need a house to be happy? If I don't say I want a house, I won't get one, but I really want one. Which is whacked, man. It's whacked. But that's what our brain does. It controls us that much. So we have to disconnect from that and understand the ridiculousness and what that says. You have to follow it all the way through. So okay, let's explore if that actually happened. What does that look like if what I just said actually played out and it happened? So you would be focused on happiness, right? Little by little, you would be acquiring more and more of it, and your life would be very fulfilling, and you would have a spouse that's wonderful. Let's say, you know, this is all hypothetical. You'd have wonderful children, your friends, you'd have close friends. You would have this beautiful car that gets you around. You'd love your job, like every aspect of your existence, you would really, really be happy with. And you'd be sitting there completely fulfilled and happy and joyful and sitting there and you'd go, yeah, but 10 years ago, I wanted a house and I don't have a house. So now I'm not happy. Like, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. If your entire life was happy and you don't need a house to be happy, if you don't have a house, you'll be happy without the house. That's the whole point of happiness. You'll be sitting there in an apartment or something going, huh, you know what? 10 years ago, I thought I needed a house to be happy, but I am so happy and I don't have a house. I guess I was mistaken. That's what you'll be saying. It's not going to impede in your happiness if you don't need it to be happy. And if you do need it to be happy, you will get it. So it's a win-win. You know? That's why living by these principles is so important. I want a peaceful, joyful life. Good. Put your attention to that. And when you're not peaceful and joyful, understand that there's something wrong with the way that you're framing the information that's coming into your world. There's nothing wrong with the world. You know, the world has external problems, but those are temporal. They're not eternal. So if you focus on the world's problems, you're going to be unhappy. If that's, if you want to be unhappy, just watch the news every day. That's all you got to do. That will ensure you staying unhappy at least to some level. I don't know anybody that's consistently happy that watches the news. How could you be? It's just inundating yourself with negativity. It's putting the spotlight, it's putting your energy, your attention, which you have control over, onto stuff that you don't have any control over. So this is how we, you know, we open up to a more peaceful spiritual way of being. We have to make larger goals and give our brain the right job to do, because that's how it's going to process information. Do you guys have any other ideas of examples of situations that you're like, yeah, this kind of sounds interesting, but I don't know how I do that in this situation. You know, if you do, let me know. Buddy, it's an inside job. Absolutely. Lisa, for me, material things are just tools on my journey. Yeah, they are just tools. And if you look at them as tools and gifts, like when I got a car when I was 1 or 2 years sober, so this is like 16 years ago, I got this car, and I was like, wow, I'm so appreciative, because the car that I had was starting to have a lot of problems, and my son was very little. So, you know, it was like, oh man, this can be a little stressful. Then I got this new car, and my parents helped me get this at the time. And I was like, I was so grateful. I was so grateful that I had this little new car, and I didn't have to worry about it breaking down. And it got me and my son from point A to point B consistently without fear of something going wrong. And I was like, oh, I was so grateful for how it enhanced my life on a daily basis. And I used to drive, you know, I don't like the cold. Everybody knows that. So I drive through the winter and I'd see people sitting at bus stops and stuff. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so grateful for this car. And I swear I had it was very close when I got rid of that car, like 5 or 6 years later. The amount of gratitude I had for that car was about the same when I got rid of it as it was when I got it. And the same all the way in between. I so appreciated that car. And I didn't even particularly like it. It wasn't my style, you know, but it was dependable. And I appreciated it. So if you can appreciate those things, but they're not the source of your happiness. You know, before I got a new car and I thought I was going to be happy because I got a new car. And I was for a month. And then it wore off. And then the next 4 years that I had the car, it was just a car. You know, I didn't appreciate it because I thought it was going the source of my happiness, and it's not. So now it's, you know, so appreciating it like I lived in gratitude for the whole time that I had it. So you can appreciate things like that. Let's see what Margie says. I think it's funny when people say, why are you so happy? I don't own a house. I drive an old car, but you're right. I'm joyful and content with my life. See, that's what the most important thing is. And if at some point getting a house or getting a new car would enhance your happiness, if you stay focused on your joyful and content feelings and you interact with life like that, life will bring in a car if it's going to enhance it. And if it's not going to enhance it, it won't. And either way, it doesn't matter. We can't manipulate the universe by thinking, oh, I'll pretend I'm content with the car that I have, so I'll be happy, so then it'll bring me a new one, because that's just manipulation energy. When you're truly content, maybe you'll get one, maybe you won't, but it doesn't enhance your happiness. It's not the source of your happiness. It can be an expression of your happiness. Sometimes it's hard not to get caught up in the stuff. My joy comes from other things that truly fills my life. Yeah, well, that's exactly it. It's, you know, and that's basically what I'm talking about here. Not getting caught up in the stuff. Like if you're getting caught up in the stuff, then that can trigger something inside of you that says, hey, I need to reframe this stuff because I'm getting caught up in it. It's dragging me down. And then you can reframe it. And you can reframe it by using, you know, eternal principles like love, peace, trust, expansion. And I'm sure there's others, but look at it and, you know, be like, how can I bring faith into my life? Faith is an example of an eternal principle. How could I bring more faith into my life? Well, you know, I can, how can I use faith in this situation? You know, that, so I'll give you one more example and I may wrap up after this, but like for me, faith was a big one because I had been building my faith by handing things over and seeing if they'd work out. And they did every time, which was amazing. So those are my building blocks of faith. And I did that for years, you know, just like, wow. And I would try to make a mental note whenever I would hand something over or whenever I saw something work out, I would try to pump the brakes for a moment and go, Glenn, notice this. Because usually what happens when things go well, we're just like, well, yeah, that's how, you know, that's just normal life. It's supposed to go well. Or if somebody gives us a compliment, we're like, oh yeah, well, you know, thanks, you know, whatever. We don't take it on. But boy, if somebody says something negative, then it goes straight into our heart. Or if something goes wrong in our life, then we're like, oh my God, this shouldn't have happened. Like, so we latch onto the negative things and we dismiss the positive things. We need to reverse that. So I would slow down and make a mental note and feel vibrationally what it felt like when things worked out for me. And then people like, how do you have so much faith? How do you trust? I built it. That's how, you know, faith isn't magical. Faith is trust and faith is built just like trust is built. It's the same thing. So you hand something over that maybe doesn't have a large risk to it. And then, oh, look, it worked out. Cool. Building block of faith. And now all of a sudden you have a little more faith. And then when you're about to hand over something bigger and you're a little bit scared, you go, oh, well, it worked out for me this time, this time, this time, this time, and this time. So there's probably a good chance I'll work out this time too. Now, does that get rid of all the fear? Probably not, but it helps, you know, and you do that more and more. So, you know, for me, a big turning point came when I was going for custody with my son, because I knew it was a big deal. I knew there was a lot of energy and I knew that I had a lot of fear around it because of my past experiences in family court. And I knew my ex would do and say whatever it took, whether it was true or not true, to try to get my son to stay with her. And I knew that I was not willing to do that. I would not lie to accomplish something. I needed to stay true to spiritual principles. So I had a lot of fear around it. So I was like, okay, how has this worked in every other area of my life? You know, how did I get sober? How did I move from Rhode Island, from Florida to Rhode Island and find a job and have a place to stay at my aunt and uncle's, even though they only lived there for a few months and timing was perfect? And how did I find a job making the exact amount of money, even though I have no education, that I needed to make to stabilize myself? And how did I find an apartment like literally right down the street and around a little corner from my son's house so I could be there in his life on a daily basis? And why did my ex move in with her boyfriend and no longer have the family there to watch him and then start taking classes at a college at the same time? So she needed me as a babysitter so I could be with him 5 days a week. How did all this stuff unfold over and over and over and over and over, because I kept handing things over and trusting. And when I put my faith into something greater than myself, it always manifested in the highest good for me. Every time, always. So I sat back and I started going, it worked here, 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 here. I did this, I did that. And that gave me the strength to just risk and go, I've got nothing else to hang my hat on. This is my only chance. Here you go, God. Here you go, universe. Here. And I had to trust implicitly. What that means is this is an important important point. I did not give it over to the universe. I did not give it over to God and say, God, I trust you to take my son out of his mother's house and put him in my house. That's not what I asked. That's not what I put my faith in. I put my faith that God or the universe would do whatever was in the highest good for me or my son. And if that meant that he was going to move in with me, I would be extremely happy. And if that meant that he was going to stay at his mother's house, that I had to trust that for some reason, even though I couldn't see it, that that was in his highest good and now it was in my highest good. Because that's what was happening. That's what I put my faith in. That's what I put my trust in. I didn't try manipulating the universe to get what I wanted. I took my hands off of it and said, I trust you that whatever is in my highest good is going to happen. Now, in that particular situation, he did. They had an emergency hearing that first day, and they went, poop, popped him right into my house that first day. And there was no evidence of physical abuse, not really any physical abuse, no drug abuse, no alcohol abuse, nothing like that. And I had no rights, no custody. And they picked up a child away from his mother and put him right into his father's house. Do you know how rare that is? Unheard of that is? And they did it right then. Boop. And then, of course, like, you know, there was another year and a half for them to go through all the processes to see if, you know, if it was going to stay like that, and it did, but whatever. But this is, we have to put our trust and faith into something bigger than us. You know, that faith is an eternal principle. So this is why it works. We have to live our lives through love, peace, trust, faith, expansion. So start putting those as your goals and the grandiose things, the big things. Turn to them. Turn to them. The best moments I had as a father was when I took a moment before reacting and I said, what would love do here? Because I used to ask myself, like, what did I get growing up? Because whatever I got didn't work because I was a mess. So what I got, in most situations, it was some form of discipline, either at home or at school or with the police or whatever. Whatever I got was usually a form of discipline. And I knew that that didn't work. So I was like, okay, what's the opposite of that? Love. Okay. And I looked back and I can count on like one hand the amounts of times that I received unconditional love versions of it. And it, let's see. I mean, I might miss a couple, but I remember my teacher, Mr. Guerin, did it once, like sophomore year in school. My grandmother did it once or she did it a few times. My friend Ed's mother did it once, Edie. It's so specific when I did something wrong and somebody came in with love energy instead of discipline, frustration, anger, those types of energies. When somebody came in with an eternal principle of love, I remember almost every time it happened in my life. And I reacted very differently. If you ask 100 teachers that I had, 99 of them are going to say I was a gigantic pain in the ass, probably. No, that's not true. 95 out of 100 would say that. Five came at me with love and I responded well to it. So the times that I've done well parenting was when I hit the brakes and said, what would love do here? What if I brought love into the situation instead of anger, frustration? And it's done that with everything in work situations and friendships and in parenting in every area, because it's an eternal principle. So if that's my goal, I'm going to have much better results. Bring love into the situation. So that's it. That's a good place to stop. Love. Love one another. Love yourself. Love the world. Bring love in. If you've got a ball of frustration, bring some love in. It dissipates the frustration. All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you for participating. I'm going to wrap it up. Oh, I do have one other thing to say, though. Keep your eyes open. I've got some huge thing releasing tomorrow. It's a practical meditation super stack. Sounds cool, right? It's going to have like all kinds of stuff in it. My book is going to be on it, so you can get my book. And what they do is they stack a ton of information. That's why it's called an info stack or a super stack or whatever. So they stack all this stuff in his webinars. There's meditation audios. There's meditation music. There's classes that you can take. There's it's crazy. What is the saying? There's, I guess it's $1,400 worth of stuff that they just pack all in together. And I believe, please don't quote me on this, I believe you get everything for $49. Like I don't know how many different people's stuff they have here, but there's a lot of them. World Peace Meditation Package. Literal courses that you have access to. This is an 8-week course of mastering your personal power, webinars. Like, there is a lot of stuff here. Like I said, so like for $49, I guess, you just you get all of it. So yeah, that's releasing tomorrow. So keep your eyes open. I'll send out emails. If you're not on my email list, please get on it. And I'll post it on social media as well. But sweet people. I gotta check in. Hey, Wendy's here. Love. She's got the two cutest kids, man. I swear, her and Mark. So sweet. I love seeing pictures of them. I kind of miss my Christmas cards, guys. I got to be honest. That was so cool. I'm in the DR now, so don't even try. But those were great growing up with Mateo, sending and receiving all those. Love you. Love your shirt. Freed Om, man. This is what spirituality is about, freedom. Buddy, good man. Everything was right on. Thank you. And we still got a chat, buddy. I believe it or not, I have you on my calendar and I just had to move. Yeah. Hey, Wendy. Yeah, tell Mark I said hi. So yes, thank you, everybody. Live from eternal principles. Bring as much love into your life as you can, much peace into your life as you can. Trust, expansion and growth. Remember, that's kind of one that you have to, you know, when you're kind of stumbling and you're like, geez, I'm not sure. Faith, trust, peace, love. I don't know what eternal principle to bring in here in this situation. None of those seem to fit. Look at expansion or growth. That's the tricky one. It's not tricky. It's just, You might have to use your mind to see how that fits in. Be like, oh, wow, what's important to me? Things working out my way or in this particular situation or my expansive growth of my soul, me becoming a better person. Oh, me becoming a better person is more important. My own expansion, my own growth, or the growth of my child is more important in this situation than them getting what they want, them learning how to expand and grow and be a better person is more important. You see how that's an eternal principle? So pay attention to that one. That one might not be so obvious. All right. Thank you, everybody. Peace. I will talk with you next week. Let's see. Now I have to disconnect my brain from that and go over to my ending. All right. Peace, guys. See ya.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.